It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody tuned in and locked in all over North America. All the delivery drivers, people protecting people, helping people, first responders, Amazon, Lyft. You could be in an Amazon factory or a truck. What's up, FedEx and UPS? I had a farmer call me up one day, said, "Hey, JR, what about us farmers? Thank you, farmer." And everybody else, too, okay? I'll be hanging out with you for one more hour. This show gets started every single weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern. If you live on the West Coast, that's 3 Pacific. Math. Anyway, if you've missed a minute of the show, you can hit rewind on the free Audacy app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Thank you to everybody listening live on their local Infinity Sports Network affiliate. You can tune in on SiriusXM channel 158. And if you got a smart speaker, ask it to play the Infinity Sports Network. So whether you happen to be here in Georgia with me, in New York with super producer and host Ryan Hickey, or maybe you're in Jacksonville, miserable ass football team. Maybe you're listening in Buffalo. Buffalo Bills are good. They're looking good. I don't know. Maybe you're in Baltimore. Maybe you're in D.C. Hey, big thank you. Matter of fact, speaking of D.C., thank you to legend, Washington legend, Brian Mitchell for joining us. This man needs to go into Canton, Pro Football Hall of Fame. So East Coast, West Coast, Los Angeles, Canada, Hawaii. Shout outs to the listeners and callers. People every now and then holler at us from Hawaii. I appreciate you. You want to contact me? It's simple. The phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. You can find me online. I'm on the internet. I am everywhere at JR Sport Brief. That's at JR Sport Brief. Thank you so much to our guest as well. Came on by to talk about an 0-3 football team. James Rapien covers all things Bengals. Yeah, they're 0-3. And they're miserable. And Hickey, am I the only person that thinks the Bengals are cooked? James said, if there's a, 0-3 team that can bounce back, I think it's them. You still feel confident in them. And I think we're going to see the same thing we get every year. I think they'll end up at around 500. I'll give them at around 500. And I think they'll ultimately lose. Like, when I think about doing something, I'm like, compete for a Super Bowl. I don't see the Bengals doing that.
The thing that brings me back, brings most back, and probably James back as well, is just like what we saw last week. I know it was a loss, but they play the Chiefs tough, should have won that game. And when you look at who the team to beat is in the AFC, it is Kansas City. I like how they match up. I think they have the right quarterback in order to beat them. It's now number one, getting that defense situated. And now number two, especially, is getting that getting the wins on your schedule to make the playoffs. I mean, they're a good team.
Are they? That defense sucks, bro.
The defense sucked
garbage
yesterday. The offense sucked against New England in week number one. It is concerning right now that all areas are hurting them at different times as well, and nothing really seemingly is going right so far. I think they still deserve the benefit of the doubt.
Okay. Well, you know what? Let's hear from their quarterback. Let's hear from Joe Burrow. Because after the loss last night, after Jaden Daniels was the best player on the football field, even though Burrow threw three touchdowns himself, Joe Burrow had some comments on starting 0-3. Listen to this.
We just come back to work on Wednesday, come in tomorrow, watch the tape, improve the things that we can improve, come back on Wednesday and have a great practice, bring great energy, and try to get better. That's all you can do. 0-3, obviously, not very good, not where we want to be. So we just got to come back on Wednesday, try to get better.
Okay, all right. Okay. What else is he supposed to say? Where's the optimism? They said after the game that both Joe Burrow and Zach Taylor, they didn't just go into the locker room. They went off to a side room to talk. What's there to talk about? Well, we suck. We need to get better. How are we going to figure this out? There's some variation of that. It's pretty crazy. Something that they're going to have to do, and we talked to James Rapien about this as well. Their cornerback, Cam Taylor-Britt, looked at Washington and looked at Jaden Daniels and basically said, They run in a college offense, and look at what Cliff Kingsbury is doing. He basically, I don't want to say belittled them. He didn't talk highly about their offense. This is what he said before the game.
They don't make them do a lot, so they keep it really simple for them. Nice college offense. Kingsbury is the OC, so you know, a little move guys around here and there, but you know, just keep it real simple for them. I heard his pass percentage is very high, but he's on the door short.
Okay. Yeah, they keep things real simple for him. Okay, all right. And then they lost. And then he lit them up. He had one of the best games you'll ever see out of a rookie quarterback. Two touchdowns, completing 21 of 23 passes, big passes, and standing around. He commanded that team. So then Cam Taylor-Britt, after the game, he was just like, hey, do you regret anything that you said? And he's like, no.
No, ma'am, I did not regret it. And I didn't mean anything malicious out of the comment. It was just made bigger than what it was. Yes, I can eat my words, most definitely. We did take a hail today. But as a team, it was sort of caught us off very quick, quick throws. He's very athletic and extend plays. And that's how the game went. And they started their plan, and yeah, that's how it went.
You know what, folks? I got to tell. The professional athletes, they get told so much. They get taught so much. There's so much that's shared. And this is something for everybody. It doesn't matter what your intent was. It doesn't. Hickey, there was an athlete a couple of weeks ago. There was somebody else who kind of blamed the media. He's like, this is why I don't want to talk to you guys because, you know, things get blown up. I forgot the context of it.
Jordan Mason with the whole when he was told when he was going to start.
Yeah, with Christian McCaffrey, is he playing? That's right. And then he blamed the media. You have to be smart enough to understand what comes out of your mouth. That's it. And you have to understand how what you say, how it can be interpreted. It doesn't matter the intent. If you're going to say something that's going to open you up or provide bulletin board material for the other team, you have to be smart enough to say nothing. There are a lot of athletes, big names, huge named athletes, who are skilled at the art of saying absolutely nothing. Derek Jeter is probably one of the greatest examples I've ever seen in my life. Nothing. It didn't matter whether they won or whether they lost. He gave you nothing. It was like talking to a wall, and you know what it did? It bought him time. It got him peace. It left him alone to say nothing. You want to have a boring superstar. And by the last time I checked, Cam Taylor-Britt is not a superstar. And so when his head coach last night had to respond to what he said, Zach Taylor pretty much told everybody he shouldn't have said not a damn thing at all.
That's not what we do. That's not what we do. We praise our own team, praise the other team. We don't need to take shots like that. That team hasn't punted in 2 weeks. They've scored on every single possession the last 2 weeks. So I've got a tremendous amount of respect for what they're doing over there. I've known Cliff a long time. I knew paired with that quarterback, this was going to be a very dangerous offense to play against, and they've proven that so.
Yes, that's what you do. As boring as it is, as boring as things can be, this is the point. Say nothing. There's a reason why coaches are complimenting the other team and the opposition. There's a reason why everybody's patting each other on the back. There's a reason why nobody says nothing. As boring as it could be, you don't want to provide somebody with added motivation. Washington Commanders had added motivation by listening to this crap yesterday. Jaden Daniels had an amazing game. Now, what they look like the rest of the year, I have no idea. I'm sure Jaden Daniels is going to have his ups and his downs. They have Arizona coming up next. Arizona is good for one thing, and that's just lighting it up, throwing the ball around. That's probably going to be a shootout. But I'm impressed with Washington, what they do. Also, let me just say this one last time. Hickey, how many more games are we going to talk about the Jaguars? This probably might be the peak of it, you think, for the season?
Maybe one or two more.
Uh-oh. When they fired Doug Peterson?
That and, like, I mean, if they go to 0-5, 0-6, like, they lose to a team they shouldn't, I think they'll be back up in the news even if their season's over. I'll say two more times.
Oh, it's not looking good for them. They got the Texans next.
Oof.
And you know the Texans are going to look to bounce back after the loss that they just took against the Minnesota Vikings. And so things could get uglier. See, this is a tale of two ugly teams. The Bengals still have some life. They got the Carolina Panthers staring them in the face. An interesting storyline there as Andy Dalton is going to take on his former team. But for Jacksonville, they got the Texans next. They could fall to 0-4. And I don't know how many more weeks Trevor Lawrence can just, take the blame. But that's what he did last night. Take a listen to Trevor Lawrence. He said, it's my fault. My fault.
I'm not playing as good as I can play. Just point blank. There's plays out there, like the one to Brian, which I'm sure you guys saw, like that, just a throw you miss and turns into a turnover. And it's a game where the defense needed us to make some plays, to get some momentum, to settle in, to keep the ball, put some points on the board, give them a little breather. And that, for example, really hurts us.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Might as well get used to hearing this a bunch of weeks in a row. The funny thing is, his head coach, Doug Peterson, he told everybody, he said that we got to change something. What does that mean? You're going to bench Trevor Lawrence? I think not. The $55 million quarterback of the team? I don't think so. Doug Peterson will get fired before he makes a move. Listen to what he said.
There has to be changes, whether it's play design, personnel, everything. Everything's on the table, let's call it, right? And those are all things that we have to, I have to look at. We have to look at as a staff and make the adjustments.
You said everything's on the table when you talk about personnel changes. Does that include, every starter, or does that include quarterback potentially or not?
I mean, you say everything's on. We got to take a look at injury. Tonight we had some guys injured. Could be moves that way. It could be performance. It's all things we have to evaluate as we move forward.
Everything is up for evaluation in the NFL every week. That's what makes the season so good. Hickey, I enjoy watching the good teams, and then I enjoy watching some of the bad ones crash and burn. That's the NFL season for me.
So if you're in the middle, you're screwed in terms of JR's viewing.
Go ahead. Give me some examples. Go ahead.
Let's see, the middle, like the Colts, the Patriots. They're 1-2. You like seeing it? Well, I guess you're going to enjoy there.
I'm not watching that. I just want to see what Drake May does when he plays.
Cardinals.
I like the shootouts on a Sunday afternoon. Yes.
Raiders.
Yeah, I like the laugh. Yeah.
Chargers.
Chargers? Yeah, the Chargers are going to be a good team for a few years. It's going to take them a minute. Yeah, I watch the Chargers.
Browns.
The Browns? I root for the Browns. I root against them. I do.
Dolphins.
Why am I watching them? Giants. Not this year. The New York Giants? Yeah, I got to keep up with them. Yeah, of course. They suck, though. They are a team. Remember the other day I said you got teams that are like dumpster fires rolling down a hill?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, that's the New York Giants the whole season. Just a rolling dumpster fire until they push Daniel Jones in and then push him over.
How about the Seahawks?
No.
Okay.
They are the most, I'm sorry, and I know people in Seattle will be mad at me. The Seahawks are just like the most basic-ass team ever. Do you agree? Like, they got Geno Smith there. What can they ever expect out of Geno Smith?
That I agree with. And you can't take him seriously.
Am I missing something? I mean, so far this year, they beat the Broncos, the Patriots, and the Dolphins. What am I supposed to feel enthusiastic about them about? Kenny Walker ain't even all that way healthy, and not healthy at all. God bless Mike McDonald for having this team looking like this coming over from Baltimore. They got the Lions next. Is that Sunday? No, that's a doubleheader next week on Monday Night Football, isn't it?
That's right. Game 2.
Yeah. Then I will see the Seahawks as I'm here in the studio and the Lions are going to try to go out there and wipe them out. Let's just put it that way. You know what? A matter of fact, let's listen to the Seahawks' new head coach, Mike McDonald. He is proud of his football team that has beat the Broncos, the Patriots, and the Dolphins.
Just the mentality, how hard our guys are playing. Felt like we played physically. The guys were flying around on defense. Place was electric. So our communication was on point, given how loud it was. So I think we gave their operation some trouble. The fans did. So shout out to the 12s on that one. Definitely boosted us on that one.
Oh, man, I haven't heard a 12s reference since Russell Wilson. Oh, my goodness. The 12s. Ugh. I like Portland better, but I like Seattle. And shout out to the Seahawks fans. Even the Seahawks fans know that they're not doing anything. It's just the facts. And God bless Geno Smith for having a job and being a starter. That should be good enough. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. We're going to take a break. You know what? Speaking of Russell Wilson, man still hasn't thrown a pass. This man still hasn't seen action on an NFL field. When are we going to see Russell Wilson this year? And does the job belong to Justin Fields? It looks like we got an answer. Looks like Mike Tomlin had something to say. We'll hear from Mike Tomlin on the other side. And then there's another team trying to figure out its QB situation. I think it's the Raiders. I'll give you an update on both on the other side of the break. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. You know, right before we went to break, we talked about quarterbacks in the league right now. And Doug Peterson, after the Jacksonville Jaguars have now started 0-3, he's talking about changes. And we know a guy named Trevor Lawrence, who's now going to be making $55 million a year at the QB position. And he ain't going to be one to be a part of a change. If anything moves or shakes, it's going to be Doug Peterson out of the door, out of the building. That's for a bad team. You have some other teams in the league, at least they got a victory. Well, let's look at one. They don't even have a loss right now. It's the Pittsburgh Steelers. We haven't seen Russell Wilson throw a pass all season long because he's been dealing with a calf issue that dates back to the beginning of training camp. It flared up right before the season started. And so Justin Fields gets the go-ahead. He's not turning the ball over at a ridiculous clip like Bears fans might be familiar with. No fumbles. No fumbles lost, I should say. Only one interception. More importantly, the Steelers are 3-0. And you don't want to rock a good thing. You don't want to mess up a good thing when it's going well. Leave it alone. And so, head coach of the Steelers, Mike Tomlin, naturally, he's been asked, hey, is Justin Fields the full-time starting quarterback? Are you going to let everybody know that he is the guy moving forward? Mike Tomlin never wants to kind of tell everybody what's on his mind. But Mike Tomlin did tell everybody, he says, damn it, we're 3-0. What the hell else you want me to talk about?
Because there's no need. I explained to you the variables of the week. It has not changed. He's going to walk in this building with that mindset tomorrow. And so there's no need to. Sometimes in this business, man, there's a myriad of complex decisions that need to be made. I've learned to make them when it's appropriate and it's not necessary as we sit here right now. When Russ gets to an appropriate point of health, and we have a decision to make, I'll make it, and I'll announce it, and I'll be really transparent about it. But until then, I don't care how many ways you guys ask me, I got no intentions of making the decision that's unnecessary at this juncture.
There's no point, right? Because if Justin Fields has a crap game coming up soon, then Mike Tomlin looks like a flip-flopper. And until Russell Wilson is healthy enough to play, it doesn't make any sense for him to say anything. They play the Colts next. Every game that these Steelers has played, They have been ugly. They've been winning ugly. Punch you in the mouth and win ugly. And the way that Mr. Richardson turns the ball over on the Indianapolis Colts, it only takes one turnover just to change the whole complexity of a game. And so would anybody be surprised if the Steelers start the year 4-0? Can't be. Not with Anthony Richardson at QB. Hickey, you said are you picking against the Steelers? Or excuse me, are you picking against the Colts?
I think so.
Oh, yeah.
Turnovers. Unfortunately, I think. Exactly right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you're not kidding. That Steelers way of football is disgusting.
Yeah, it's not the most exciting. It wins for now. I have a feeling we're going to see Russell Wilson at some point. Hickey, I hope we don't. If I had to put money down, are we going to see Russell Wilson throw some passes this season? I think the answer is yes. But I'd like to see Fields just play all year.
See, I want to see Russ.
Oh, why? Controversy? You want to hear some quotes?
A little controversy. Definitely some cringeworthy quotes. I'm just also not sold that he's ever going to regain form again. I'm just curious to see how bad it is, to be honest with you.
Oh, wow. You're worse than me.
I know.
I agree. I think he is what he is. Like, the fact that he got hurt on a conditioning drill on, like, I believe the training sled.
Mm-hmm.
That ain't no young man's injury. Like, that's something that I haven't cut the grass since last summer. The first time I cut the grass, I pulled my back. That's an old man injury. What's going on with him is an old man injury. I'm just saying. I think we've seen the best of Russell Wilson. But I prefer not to see him at all, if I'm being honest. And let Mike Tomlin go week to week trying to figure this one out. It's his job. Let's talk about another team. This team is going nowhere. They got questions about their quarterback. The Raiders. It was only last week we were talking about Gardner Minshew. Gardner Minshew telling everybody, hey, it's not about what people outside the building think. It's about what we believe inside the building. Gardner Minshew, y'all just lost to the Panthers. Gardner Minshew is doing what we all expect him to do. Touchdown, interception, touchdown, interception. This is what he does on a season. He has 3 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. That's what the hell he just did with the Panthers. We saw Aiden O'Connell come on at the end and provide a little bit of a spark, and now people are like, oh, Antonio, who's the quarterback? And Antonio Pierce yesterday, he's just like, man, I don't know. Don't ask me.
But I thought we did some good things. You know, the problem is, you know, when you don't win on early downs, these longer third downs are not – that's not in the best interest of our offense and Gardner. So we got to do a better job on early downs and make it easier for him on third down.
What did you see from Aiden in his limited spot duty there? I know you talked yesterday about just giving him a shot to see what he can do. But is there any chance whatsoever that that gives you pause going forward?
Well, I just think, you know, you look at how the game went. We're down by 2 scores or so. Let Aiden come in and see what he can do with the offense, move it. You know, we're just trying to look for a spark.
Did that mean anything going forward? Or is it still Gardner, still the guy?
I think we got to get with the players and just, you know, evaluate everything from yesterday first.
Man, when you have to have these type of conversations, it's been 3 games. Antonio Pierce is already having to answer questions about who his quarterback is going to be. And we knew this answer before the season got started. There is none. There is no quarterback. Go ask Davante Adams how he feels about this situation. Forget whatever Antonio Pierce has to say. Let's check in with Davante. Soon enough, Brock Bowers is going to be on the receiving end of all the passes because Davante Adams is going to be gone. What a joke. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Reed is calling from Baltimore. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. What's up, Reed?
Hi.
Hello.
Hey, look, JR, love your show and everything. I listen almost every night before I go to sleep. But anyway, I just wanted to ask you about the Ravens, right?
Okay.
What do you think about their almost loss versus Dallas? Like, they came back.
I'm less concerned about 19 points in the fourth quarter. I think it's more important that they actually walked away with a victory. Let's be real. They got to, quote unquote, tighten it up. You think about their first two losses in the season and people sweating, they'd be in this 0-3 category like everybody else. I'm not all that concerned. They have enough room. We know what the offense is. The defense needs to round into shape. The Baltimore Ravens, I'm more concerned about what they do come December and early January because it's the same thing over and over again. Are we looking at a team that's going to go 13-4? No, I don't think so. But I assume that they're going to get close to 10 wins. They're going to be one of the best teams in the AFC. But what they do when they get into the tournament, that's the only thing that matters. You know, do they have enough passing talent? Can Lamar Jackson stay healthy enough to kind of move them to an AFC championship game and beyond? And so what they do right now, I'm less concerned about. I'm just happy that they got a win, got a victory. Otherwise, they'd be in an 0-3 hole too, just like the Bengals.
Yeah, thank you.
No problem, Reed. I wouldn't sweat it right now. It's still early, man, okay?
Yeah, I got you.
No problem. Yeah, they got one step ahead of the Bengals, which is crazy. And imagine this. This is still the AFC North. The Browns look like crap. Let's be real. The Steelers might be 3-0. They might be 4-0. But who's looking at the Steelers going, oh, man, they're going to be one of the top teams in the AFC? Nobody's looking at them. And so, yeah, if you want to find some optimism surrounding the Cincinnati Bengals and how they bounce back, look at the competition and how they've played up until now. But then also look at the Ravens and who and what they can beat up on in their own division to potentially still win that. Hickey, would you be surprised if the Ravens still won the AFC North?
I'll say no, just because I'll give them a little bit of the same respect I'm giving the Bengals here. And also, I am not a believer right now in the Steelers.
No.
Still, at 3-0, no way. And the Browns stink.
The Browns stink. Oh, what a sad story with Myles Garrett. They're like, oh, his feet hurt, and now his feet hurt, and now his shins and his legs hurt. And I'm like, oh, my God. What do you do for that? You just got to cut him open, Hickey, right?
What do they say? The knee bone's connected to the thigh bone?
Oh, everything, right?
Starting to see that right now, unfortunately.
That is terrible. I heard that. I was like, oh, both feet hurt?
Huh. Knock.
And now both legs hurt? No, 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 no. Yoga, Hickey. The answer is yoga.
Mm-hmm. Even for that, really?
I don't know.
Sounds like surgery.
Oh, man. Right? I mean, that's probably what's going to have to happen, but sheesh. You think these professional athletes, they really do everything they can to take care of their bodies?
No.
Okay.
Because if so, they would do what LeBron does. And what Tom Brady did, and I don't think most athletes are going to that level of 24/7, 365 nutrition, sleep, working out, diet, etc.
Hickey, I have learned to try to stretch in the morning when I get up and before I go to sleep.
Wow, twice a day. How's it working out for you?
I feel better. I feel better. Because I'll go work out, but I haven't necessarily always taken the appropriate time to stretch. You know, saying, hey, let me get a stretch in on the way to the gym is not the same as let me take time to intentionally stretch. It makes a difference. And I'm saying to myself, hey, if I'm a professional athlete, I'm getting paid to do this. You know, maybe I'll be a little bit more intentional. And granted, football is a violent game. You're beating the living hell out of each other. You're naturally going to have injuries. But it just makes me think. How many professional athletes do like anybody else who just gets up and rolls to work and says, hey, now I'm at work. I'll stretch for a little bit because they're watching me and then I'll just get to business. I think, you know, even professional athletes, humans are humans. You're just going to, you know, say, hey, I got it. And maybe you do a little bit to get by instead of kind of maxing out. It just hearing Myles Garrett, both his feet hurt. Now his legs hurt. Makes me hurt. Good luck to Myles Garrett. Not to the Browns, though, and not to Deshaun Watson. That guy is a little too interesting for me. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, I'm going to share with you a few things that took place this day in sports history. I'm going to get ready to shut up.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief show here on the Infinity Sports Network, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Oh, my goodness. This is not even news. It's Kawhi Leonard. Don't worry about it. Nothing bad happened. Kawhi Leonard will not be participating in Clippers training camp drills. They plan on holding him out of drill. Is he even a basketball player at this point? They just signed this guy to a 3-year, $153 million extension in January. Why doesn't he just quit? Nah, it sounds terrible. Kawhi Leonard is 33 years old. He underwent offseason surgery to take care of the swelling in his knee. Maybe Team USA really didn't want him because he couldn't move. The Clippers are moving into this brand new building where they shoot T-shirts out of the top of the Jumbotron. And Clippers got a lot of toilets in this new Intuit Dome. I know they've already had some musical performances there. I think Usher did a show already. And then the Clippers are going to show up and be awful. For as bad as they're going to be, they could have just stayed in the Staples Center. Why the hell did they have to move? Because Steve Ballmer is a multi-billionaire? Hickey, net worth 100 mil or 93?
100. Right 100. Number.
Let's see. Steve Ballmer. You know, this stuff fluctuates, right? I think we haven't checked in a few months. Let's see. Oh, crap. Damn. $126 billion.
Wowza.
Yep. We're both wrong. I think the last time we checked a couple of months ago, his net worth has just increased by $30 billion.
Does that go up or down with the new stadium? I guess up, right? Even though he's paying for it?
I don't know. I don't know if it... Here's a crazy thing. He's had the team now for, what, 10 years since that idiot Sterling, you know, went away? About 10 years, a decade or so, right?
Right, that sounds about right.
He bought the team. It couldn't have been for more than, I want to say, $4 billion, if that, at the time. And let's see, Steve Ballmer, Clippers price. Two, that's it. Let's be real. Has the valuation increased that much since he bought him? No. If he were to sell the team tomorrow, what are the Clippers going to move? They're not going to move for more than 6 or 7. And if you have a net worth, come on, I don't think the man is liquid with $126 billion. He's not Scrooge McDuck. But if you have to think about the net worth of all of your assets and it's almost $130 billion, like the Clippers are like a toy to him, right? Like, what is this?
Absolutely. That's why he's having fun with them.
He could buy every team. He could buy every team.
Buy the whole league.
He could buy every team almost, right? Almost. Yeah, not quite, but almost. He could buy half the league if he wanted to.
That way he'll at least increase his chances of winning a championship.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure there's some bylaws against that. What a miserable ship that is. The Clippers. Knowing that your team has no hope, no chance. You got to figure out the contracts of Kawhi and get him the hell up on out of there. And James Harden, get him the hell up on out of there and just start from scratch. That wall that they're trying to do, Hickey, that stupid fan wall is going to be empty. Who's showing up for that?
Or worse, filled with opposing fans.
Wow. But aren't they supposed to have... They got fancy stuff for that, right? Isn't that what they do? Like,
what do you mean by fancy stuff? Like ID to keep out?
Yeah. Aren't you supposed to? They have a whole fancy mechanism to ensure that you're a Clippers fan. Like, I don't know. They're going to take your blood type. And I don't, hey, you got loser in your genes. So here you are. You automatically can line. I'm sorry to the Clippers fan.
Damn, went right there.
like, hey, all the Clippers fans have a same blood type. Loser. I don't know. It's sad. Come on. Who chooses to be a Clippers fan? How? No, who sat down and watched Clippers basketball in their lifetime and said, this is my team to root for? For what? You got the Lakers right there. Sad. Anyway, let's not be sad. Let's go back in time and find some positivity. Because it's Tuesday, September 24th. The year is 2024. It's time to go back in time to this day in sports history.
Back in the days when I was young, I'm not a kid anymore. But some days I sit and wish I was a kid again.
It's time for this day in sports history.
You see, back in those days,
we had radio and you couldn't see anything. And it was primitive and lousy and we liked it.
On the JR Sport Brief Show.
I wish I was 50 years younger and I'd kick your ass.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. Hey, today is September 24th. The year is 2024. If we go back to 1974, there was a legend. There was a Hall of Famer. This man, he went and got his 3,000th hit at home in Baltimore. Al Kaline did it for the Tigers. At that point in time, he was the second Tiger to do this behind Ty Cobb. This was in 1974. Unfortunately for him, the Tigers lost to Baltimore 5-4. September 24th. Let's hit the fast forward button to 1994. Everybody knows about the U. Well, Washington ended Miami's 58-game winning streak. They beat them 38-20. Listen to this, courtesy of ABC.
But it was Lambright and the Huskies. The final seconds tick away. Washington has done it. The longest home winning streak in NCAA history is just that, history.
No, it was history. Washington scored 22 points in the first 5 minutes of the second half, and they beat Miami. Warren Sapp was on that team. Ray Lewis was on that team. The Rock, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, was on that team. Hickey, that's crazy. He's the most successful out of everybody that played football on that team, huh?
That is pretty wild. There are no schlubs on that team either.
No, and it's just The Rock. You got to kiss the ring, maybe. And Warren Sapp, he's coaching with Dion now. Good for him. Maybe he should go play. Hey, September 24th, 2017. The Eagles beat the Giants 27-24. What's the significance of that? A normal NFC East matchup, right? No. Jake Elliott hit a 61-yard kick field goal to win the game. It's the longest ever by a rookie. Here, Fox Sports. Yeah, rookies are amazing when they win, like Jaden Daniels. Can't wait to see what else he has done. Anyway, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. What is this? Oh, wow. Netflix is streaming a pair of NFL games on Christmas. Kansas City Chiefs and Steelers, Baltimore Ravens and Houston. They won't have Tom Brady. Netflix requested to have Tom Brady and Kevin Burkhardt call the games. Fox said no. What's the shock there, right? I thought, why would Tom Brady work on Christmas? Hickey, I wouldn't be surprised if they, we got more and more stuff. What are we doing here? There's all these rumors, Hickey. I can't believe it.
Rumors about what?
Albert Breer, Sports Illustrated, believes it's a possibility that Bill Belichick becomes, head coach of the Jaguars. Yeah.
Wow.
There's some things that line
this
up.
This season?
No, there's some things that line up where I wouldn't totally rule that out as a viable possibility for Belichick in 2025. I guess if there's one team that Belichick can, like, run the whole team, it would be them, right?
Yeah, I think Shad Khan would hand it over, right?
Yeah, just, I guess he'd be the only, I don't want to call him a schmuck. But, you know, it ain't going to happen in Dallas. Yeah. It would be, yeah. Would he want to go there, though? Would he want to go there?
There could be some interesting options this offseason if, let's say, the Eagles don't turn it around or Nick Sirianni keeps on hating points and going for it and not getting it.
Philadelphia. Yeah. You know what would be crazy? Mac, I know where Mac Jones isn't staying next year, okay?
Pack your bags, buddy.
I tried to get away from this guy. He doesn't want me anyway. Mac Jones comes home for 1 year just to be a backup and fumble the ball for Bill Belichick just to say, no, you're not even going to be a backup. Just go elsewhere. Go elsewhere. Anyway, hey, thank you to everybody for tuning in. Thank you to Washington legend Brian Mitchell for joining us. James Rapien came through as well from the Bengals. We'll be back with you tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. If you missed a minute, go ahead and hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. Of course, tomorrow we're bringing you a new top six list. Y'all be safe, be cool, be well, be smooth. Thank you. Super producer and host Ryan Hickey. Don't move. Bart Winkler coming up next. JR Show done.